transform my life. I need more of you. I need an encounter with you. Speak to me tonight. Minister to me tonight. Father, we give you praise. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' wonderful name we have worshipped. Help me give God a big clap and a shout of praise. Help me tell your neighbor, God has a word for you tonight. God has a word for you tonight. And please, you may be comfortably seated. Hallelujah. I'd like to appreciate God's servant for this privilege to be ministering here on this highly exalted altar, and for the confidence that there might be a word for the people tonight. And I believe that every man, woman, boy, girl listening to the sound of my voice tonight, God will give you an encounter of a lifetime in the name of Jesus Christ. Very quickly tonight, we're looking at dominating through stable marital and family life. Dominating, ruling and reigning in life, dominating in life through a stable marital life, a stable family life. What is marriage all about, and what are the benefits of marriage? That's one of the things we want to look at today. And then we also want to look at what do we do in order to succeed in that marriage adventure and that marriage journey. I realize that the issue of relationships and marriage is a major issue, especially in this age and in this time. The devil has decided to do overtime, negative overtime, as far as people's emotions, people's relationships, people's marriages and homes are concerned. But tonight, I believe that God is raising a remnant few. God is raising us, men and women, that shall overturn and overrule the evil agenda of the enemy in this generation in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask, oh God, tonight, that you take absolute charge of this word. And Father, we ask, oh God, that you give us a mantle that will go back to our locations and go back to the ends of the earth and bring about revival in homes, revival in families, revival in marriages, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. What is marriage? Marriage is the legal union between a couple, between a pair of people. It's a legal marriage between a couple, a man and a woman, not a boy and a girl. A legal union between a man and a woman that is recognized by law. It's recognized in three stratas of law. It's recognized by the traditional or family laws between parents and the children. Is recognized by the court of law and is recognized by the church. This woman testified tonight and said for 13 years she has not been able to complete her marriage process. That is an anomaly. This is something that could happen or should happen within a span of a day, 2 days, 3 days at the most. 1 day probably for the traditional rites, another for the court wedding, and another for the church joining or the church blessing or the church marriage, as the case may be. However, some people decide to stop at some stages, but it is important that as much as is possible, you get blessed by your pastor, even if it is in the office, even if it is outside of service time, it is all part of the process. Well, having said that and done that, let's go and look at what are the benefits of marriage. Why did God institute marriage? In Genesis chapter 2 verse 18, the Bible says, God said that it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him and help meet. Praise the Lord. So number one, marriage is for companionship. It is not good that a man or a woman be alone. You get to a point that you don't remain alone. Look at what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And in verse 7, Ecclesiastes 4, 7, it says, then I returned and I saw vanity under the sun. Verse 8 is our emphasis. There is one alone and there is not a second. Yet he has neither child nor brother. Yet is there no end of all his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches. Neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity. Yea, it is a sore travail. You remember at the point when Solomon was talking a lot of vanities upon vanities. He came to a point where he realized that God's agenda for man is to be married, to have a companion, not to be alone. So that his labor is not in vain. All that he's laboring for, there is somebody that is available that can be a partaker of his efforts and of his labor. So, marriage is for companionship, number one. Number two, marriage is for help. Marriage is for help. It's for assistance. Marriage is for help. Note that it is not the help of the woman necessarily, as in help, because it is the woman that God, in that Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, it was the woman that God intended to bring to help the man. The man, God gave an assignment to tend the garden. God gave him a work. God gave him a position. God gave him what to do. And what he needs is a help meet to help him to fulfill that assignment. That's why it baffles me when I see women that are in active competition with their husband. You are an help meet. You are not a competitor. You are an help meet. You are not an aggressor. You are a help meet. You are not there to be a thorn in his flesh. In the same way, men should also be able to acknowledge and recognize the help of the woman that God has put in their life. She is there for your help, for your assistance, for your nurture. She is there to help you to become all that God has made you to be. The Lord shall grant us victory in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The man to the woman should be a backbone. Backbone. That is, let me say, that's a version for the man as far as help is concerned. The woman practically helps, practically assists, practically runs around. The man is a backbone, a support system. We'll be talking about that later as we go on this evening. Praise the Lord. Number three, why marriage is for ease. It is to make life easy. It's for ease. It's for speed. It's for success. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9. Ecclesiastes 4, 9. Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 9. He says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Do you know that word reward there refers to sakar in the Hebrew? It is sakar. It is payment. Payment. It is remuneration. It is being given your wages for an assignment. It is your compensation. It's your benefit. So the Bible is saying that marriage, when two come together, it is better than one. The labor of one person alone is, and the reward from that person's individual labor can never be compared to the labor of a couple together. And that is why if you will work together with your husband, work together with your wife, your labor gets rewarded exponentially. It's not an addition, it is a multiplication factor. Bankers here are aware of what we call compound interest in banking. Compound interest. There is an interest that is generated upon a sum of money, and the more, the longer that interest is being generated, the higher the interest rate and the higher the cumulative amount of money at the end of the day. That is what marriage is. If you will run your marriage effectively and you will put your mind down to make sure that yours is a success story, it is for the benefit of your effort. You see, that's why you see. Have you ever noticed that when a young man gets married, things get better? Have you ever noticed? The same young man on the same job, in the same company, on the same grade level, the same federal ministry of whatever, call whatever ministry it is. He gets married, and before you know it, for how and how, you can't even explain it. Next thing, he has a car. Next thing, he's renting a bigger house and can pay the rent. Meanwhile, before, he was begging father, mother, or uncle to assist him to top up his rent. But suddenly things get better. That is the mystery of Sakkar. That's the mystery of the reward. When two come together, there is a reward. There's a greater reward for their labor. Two is better than one because they have a good payment. They have a better payment for their efforts. So, when you marry, expect remuneration. Expect things to get better, not get worse. If you get married and things get worse, you need to find out what is happening and take authority over it by whatever means that that aberration has come about in your marriage. Number four, marriage is for lifting. It's in verse 10 of that chapter 4 of Ecclesiastes. Look at that. It will interest you. It says, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he had not another to help him up. When you are married, effectively and successfully, is to help you to stay up in life. Is to help with your lifting in life. Is to help you to stay above the storms of life. Because there is somebody that will assist you up when you feel weak. There's somebody that will help you up when things are down. Number five is for multiplication. If you look at verse 11 of that same chapter, verse 11 says, again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? If you get back down to the nitty-gritty of that passage, that word warmth there talks about marital union. So it's not just that you are warm. It's not just that your bed is not cold, but it leads to multiplication in life. Marriage leads to multiplication. Multiplication of your physical self. When the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, and God blessed them and God said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and have dominion. And have dominion over the birds of the air, the fish of the sea and the creeping things that move upon the earth. God's intention was multiplication. He gave five commandments. Be fruitful, number one. Multiply, number two. Replenish, number three. Have dominion and then subdue. Three over five is for you to multiply. And so I stand on the authority of the word of God today by instance of at least two or three passages to announce that every barren woman in this house today, every barren man, everyone trusting God for the fruit of the womb, anything that has been a limitation, it is broken in the name of Jesus. I declare the release of your fruitfulness. I declare the release of your children, male and female, according as you desire, as many as you desire, in the name of Jesus. And I decree no more barren. No more miscarriage. No more delays. If you are a believer in the house, you shout a loud amen. This also applies to financial multiplication as well as any other kind of multiplication. Number six is perpetual victory. Perpetual victory. Verse 12 says, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. Alright? So, perpetual victory. Anything that had flawed you as an individual, by marriage, you have victory over it. Anything that limited you as an individual, by marriage, you have victory. Number seven is existence in the threefold cord with God. It says a threefold cord is not easily broken. Understand that marriage is between you, your spouse, and God. God is the third part in that cord that helps that marriage to stay. Ladies here, you know when you do braids, right? You know when you do the normal braids, that is three cords. You use three hands of the hair to weave itself. Compare it to when you use two hands. With two hands, when you want to lose it, what do? You just take a comb and you brush it through. It's easily what? You can loosen it very easily. But when it's a threefold cord, you need to take time to take out each cord and take out each stitch. When your marriage is intertwined with God, God gives you victory and God gets you established in the name of Jesus. Number eight is for the production of godly seed. Look at Malachi chapter 2 verse 15. The production of godly seed. The birth of godly children. The production of godly seed. He says, and did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the spirit. And wherefore one, that he may seek a goodly seed. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. I think we'll come to that. We'll come to that. Now, so, it's for the production of what? Godly seed. Again, we had already declared that marriage is for multiplication, and I announce to you that your multiplication is established in the name of Jesus. And everyone here with your children shall be godly. They shall be examples. They shall succeed. They shall thrive. They shall never be victims of the spirit of this age in the name of Jesus Christ. Number 9 is for the remnant of the residue of the spirit. The remnant of the residue of the spirit. Your union is meant to represent the mystery between Christ and the church. That was our marriage motto. Is it motto? It's called Ephesians chapter 5 verse 32. Let's look at it. Ephesians 5 32. What does it say? This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. On the card, on our wedding card, we wrote that our marriage will be a mystery like the mystery of the relationship between Christ and the church. That is what marriage is supposed to be. Christ is the head of the church. Christ is the husband of the church. And home, your home is meant to be a representation of the mystery between Christ and the church. And finally, let me quickly look at what's keys to success. Let's look at some practical things now and how to have a successful home. What are the things to do? What are some things? It can never be exhaustive, but just a few points that we'll be able to make within the time that we have. What are the keys? Number one is understanding. Understanding. Let me tell you something. If you are casual about your marriage, you will end as a casualty. You need to be very, very determined, very, very, your mind made up that this is for life. I must succeed. I must get it right. I must be who I am meant to be, and my spouse ought to be who he or she is meant to be. Look at that passage that we read, for instance, now, in Malachi, in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, where we read, Malachi, where we read in chapter 2 and verse 15, Malachi 2:15, it says, and did he not make one, yet he has the residue of the spirit, and wherefore one, that he might seek a goodly seed. Now, part B says, therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. The word treacherously there refers to deceptively. It refers to cunningness. It refers to covertness. That is hiding things, unfaithfulness. Okay? Acting like you are together with your husband or together with your wife, but you are with somebody else. Both in the spirit and in physical interactions. You see, your heart is with another. The Bible says there in verse 16, it says, the God of Israel said that he hates putting away of one or the covering of violence with his garment, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously with the wife of your youth. Verse 17 says, you have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighted not in them. Where is the God of judgment? I stop there. But let me give you the scenario. In at this point in time, in the Old Testament, the men were dealing treacherously with their wives, and then they were struggling. Their businesses were not working. Their farm produces were not working. Things were not working, and they kept coming to God and asking, "Oh God, what is happening? Oh God, oh God, oh God." And God said, "Why are you wearying me with your asking? This is happening because of your dealing treacherously with the wives of your youth." Can I give you a practical illustration in our contemporary days. All right? I've mentioned this once or twice before in Bible school. Let's take a man. Let's say Baba Chukudi. Pardon me if you are Chukudi or your child is Chukudi. I have no, it's just a name. The young man finishes secondary school, and while in secondary school, he met this young girl. They were like, she was in SS or something, he was in SS something. And then they got married after secondary school, and he got a job with the local government and started working as a clerk in the office in the local government. And then they agree. Baba Chukudi says, Mama Chukudi, you know what? Let me be doing evening school and evening classes, and let me get an OND so that they can promote me in the office instead of just being a clerk. And then he's doing it. And then, okay, you, so that we have what to eat and the children can be taken care of, you can start a business. So maybe she starts something like selling akara and fried yam, some petty trading at the corner of the road. And she's doing that. The man gets his OND. He goes ahead and gets his HND. And by the time he has his HND, he's now a graduate from the polytechnic. And then they promote him. He's now a senior staff in the local government. And then they say, oh, in the state government, we're looking for a very good officer. We're looking for a good staff. And do you have any recommendation? And then maybe they do a secondment. And Baba Chukudi ends up in the state capital. Remember, all these 7-10 years, Mama Chukudi has been frying yam and akara. The man is still looking like a dengon. The woman, from the constant helping herself of the yam and the rice and the carbohydrates, and delivering maybe 3 children, 4 children, 6 children, 7 children, 9 children, has become diametrically
expanded.
Letter O. Like a sack of potato. Picture a sack of potato. You know, there's these bulging parts here and there, some bulgings here and there. So he now gets to the state capital. Yeah, they are still okay. So he travels to the state capital with Mama Chukudi and all the 6-10 children. And then he works so hard. You remember, he's a very hard-working man. And then he now gets to become the secretary of the minister or the commissioner. I beg your pardon, we are talking state capital, right? Of the commissioner. Or he becomes a PAMSEC or something like that. And suddenly he turns around and looks at Mama Chukudi. Say, the commissioner just invited me for a dinner today, but I cannot carry Mama Chukudi. She doesn't fix the picture. She doesn't fit the bill. She's not up to standard. Okay, yeah. What about my secretary? Hello, secretary. Get ready. Meet me at the government house. We have a dinner today. From dinners in government house, secretarial work or whatever it is, the story changes. And then what does he do? He kicks out Mama Chukudi. Say, she's not good enough for me again. I want you to just think about, if you have ever heard such a story, the highest point that Baba Chukudi was is the highest point he remains. That evolution 504, or it's evolution 505, that Mercedes flat boot, you know Mercedes flat boot, he had risen to that is the kind of car he was driving. From that point on, he never goes higher than that. Have you ever seen it? It's not hype. It's real life. Oh. Have you ever seen such cases? And so that was what was happening in Israel. And the men were coming and saying, God, why have you forsaken us? Why have I not changed my car from this Mercedes flat boot? Everybody is now, they move to V boot. They move to S class. They move to M class and G wagon. How come I'm still like this? That my
are together. He's at this level. Why am I like this? The Bible says, because you have toiled treacherously. The Lord shall give us victory in the name of Jesus. What's the key here? As you are going up, sir, please carry your wife along. When you got the OND, let her get her OND as you are starting your HND. As you get your HND and you are moving on, let her get hers. It's not a competition. You are just making sure that she's at a level that is commensurate with you. It's your responsibility, sir. When she has delivered child number one, child number two, child number three, and she's beginning to look like a round ball, help her. You and her go out jogging.
Because you are responsible for me.
You are the cause. I hope you know you are the cause of why she's looking like that. Of course, if you married your wife round and flourishing, and that's the way you like it, no problem. And you are sure that that's not going to distract you. But if you married her as a lengelengishus girl, and you are imagining that person, please try and reenact that person. God is going to give somebody that victory today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Carry her along. Show her the ropes. Be part of her. Some years ago, during that time of giving birth to children, and I was quite round, God's servant, my husband, used to tell me, I'm your takeaway master. What does that mean? When the food was too heaped on the plate, he would help me to pull the plate like this. It wasn't funny. Oh, my food. Say, no, I'm your takeaway master. You shouldn't have more than what you've had already. It helped me. Oh, help me thank him. Because there's nothing you will do that he will add weight. And so if I'm not careful, I'll begin to start looking like his grandmother. And that's not going to be very funny at all. Be your helper to your companion in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody say a loud amen. So that was number one. Understanding, know who you are, stay in your place with your spouse. Number two, be a support system. Be a support system to each other. Be the person that your wife can talk to, can run to. Be the person that your husband can run to. Be the person that is there when there is a need. Be the person that your spouse can open up to and tell when they have challenges. You remember God's servant has told the story several times before. When we first came into town, I worked for about a year and a half in a hospital in town, and then running into church and doing what I needed to do. And then until I now moved in fully into the full-time work. And one of the days I had gone to the office, and there was this colleague of mine always looking for my trouble. Very rude and very antagonistic. So one day, actually, now I can't even remember what he did or what he said, but I started crying. So I got into the car and drove back to where Pastor was, and I was crying. He said, "Who made my wife cry? Who is it? I don't make my wife to cry. Who is that person?" So in between the sobs, by this time the cry was not too much again. In between the sobs, I said, "This so-and-so person says so-and-so, counteracting my instructions, blah, 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 blah. And he's my junior. Blah, 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 blah. I am not ready to take it." Blah, blah, blah. And he said, "Come!" He entered the car, and he drove like Jehu. He just walked up to the guy, looked him in the eye. I don't even remember what he told him. He just gave him a stern warning. At that point, do we report to the owner of the hospital that there was no need? He told him something. 2 weeks later, the guy
was sacked.
Just back. This one was spiritual instant action unction. Can I ask you a question? Can your wife run to you if somebody looks for her trouble in the office? Think about it. Think about it. Can she comfortably run to you? Or you are joining hands with people to harass her?
You are the major harassment.
You are the major harassment, in fact. Be the person that your companion can run to. Be the person that is the support system for your partner in life and in destiny. Number three is effective communication. Effective communication. Being able to talk. Communication is divided into two parts. Talking and listening. You remember what scripture tells us? He says, once has God spoken, twice have I heard. That is, you hear twice as much as you speak. Unfortunately, many times, especially us women, we want to talk and talk and talk. Okay, that's it. Psalm 62 and verse 11 says, God has spoken once, twice have I heard, that power belongeth unto God. Many of us women can talk. You are talking and talking and talking, and you are not giving the opportunity for the man to say a word. You know what they call misunderstanding? When an understanding of a subject matter has been missed. Most of the things that make people have quarrels as husband and wife is not a gigantic matter. It's just a misplacement of understanding as far as that issue is concerned. And what will make for success in homes is your ability to calm down and listen first. I say to women, if there is an offense going on, there is a tense atmosphere. Why did you do this? Why did you do this? Blah, 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 blah. Why? What's happening? What's happening? Keep quiet first. Whether you are at fault or not, say I'm sorry first. Tomorrow. Or next tomorrow. Or maybe in the night when the man's head has cooled down. In the midst of his sleep, you just tap him. Oga, that matter yesterday. I just said I'm sorry. But this is the issue. X, Y, Z. At that time, anger has gone. You can explain the situation. It's not that the person is still angry in the midst of that anger. That's why you want to display that you are a true woman. 10,000 words per second. Don't you agree with me? We women, we talk far more than men, right? We do. It's inborn. There's nothing you can do about it. When you have little children and they are babies, just observe your baby girl. Before they start articulating words, observe the baby girl. What are you saying? Observe the baby boy. Especially if they are twins, a boy and a girl. The boy will always be mom. Mom. Nothing to say until he officially starts talking. Then he can express himself. It said that women speak, is it 10,000 words per day? Yeah? Per day, yeah. And an average man speaks 2,000 words per day. And now this is what happens. The man goes to office. By the time he talks to his boss, to his subordinates, to his colleagues, to everybody, he has exhausted maybe 1,800 of his words for that day. If he has a wife that doesn't work in an office or doesn't go anywhere, she's a full-time housewife. By the time he's arriving at home, she used only 50 words on the children. Stop it. Drop the cup. Stand up. Sit down. Eat your food. So she has a balance of 9,950 words to lay on you. And so, as a man, what is your responsibility? Just be listening. Let her just be talking. Just let her just be talking and talking and say, oh, really? Okay, all right, thank you. Even when she complains to you that this is what her colleague in the office did, most times the women just want to talk. But do you know a man's natural response is he wants to take action. He wants to solve the problem. Most times the truth is she's not looking for you to solve the problem. It's just to complain. So listen to the complaint, empathize and sympathize and comfort her. Tell her, hey, yeah, sorry you hear. Don't mind them. Don't mind them. I'll beat them for you. Somebody say amen. That is all that the woman needs. It's easy. Tell your neighbor it is easy. It is what? And then, woman, you can decongest some of your words at the place of prayer.
That's right, in worship.
Decongest some of your words, what? At the place of prayer. Oh God, I'm praying for this and that and that. You can even pray for Nigeria. You can pray for anything you want to pray for.
And Nigeria prayer needs a lot of words.
Somebody say loud amen. Please, husbands and wives, don't scare your spouse. Don't scare them from talking. Sometimes, when a husband wants to talk to his wife, he will remember the last time he talked to her. What was the outcome? Cry. Why are you shouting on me? And the man didn't shout, though. He was just talking. Just trying to teach her something. Next thing, bah, cry. Filling everywhere with tears. So the next time he wants to make an observation or a correction, he's held back. Somebody say, you see? A man is saying, you see, so that means a lady should hear somewhere there. Alright? And men, don't be angry with your wife when she talks. See it and understand it from her mentality. I hope you know that women mentality is a school, it's a chapter on its own. I've said it many times before, the woman's brain anatomically, if you look at the cadaver of a female brain and a male brain, it has been found and discovered that the corpus callosum, that is, there's this part of the brain that joins the left part to the right part, okay, of the brain. In men, it's almost insignificant. It's almost not there. So a man's brain, the left and the right lobes are one, more or less. In women, the corpus callosum is well defined. It's very, very distinct. The feature is there. You can see it. So the left brain is actually different from the right brain in women. That is why women overthink. Because her left brain says, sis, are you hearing what this girl is saying? The right brain says, sis, I don't think that's what she meant. No, that's what the woman's brain is talking to herself, oh, left and right. That's why they do overanalysis. And that's why the husband said A, and she interpreted it as A, B, C, D, E, F. And the man is asking, when did I say that? Said, this is what you said. You might say, oh, is it that one statement that you have interpreted into this chapter? Please, sir, deal with your wife. That's why Paul the Apostle said, deal with them with understanding. Deal with them with wisdom. Understand that she's not thinking the way you are thinking. She's thinking beyond you, far, far beyond you. It helps sometimes, but most times it causes issues. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. Any woman in the house, next time your brain does a dance between two opinions, settle it in your own mind first before you communicate it to your husband. Praise the Lord. Number four, no secrets. No secrets. This is quite easy. Don't have secrets from each other. There are women that don't know anything about their husbands.
There are husbands that don't know anything about their wives. This is quite a dangerous situation. But women, let me beg you, if your husband discloses things to you, let him not hear it from your brother's mouth, or from your sister's mouth, or from your colleague in the office. Many women take things that their husbands tell them in confidence, and they use it as a point for conversation. That is a betrayal of trust. That is a betrayal of the confidence that your husband should repose on you. Don't keep secrets from each other. And men, you know something? My husband and I don't have passwords on our phones. Apple ID, there's no face recognition, thumbprint recognition. I can pick his phone, he can pick my phone. Because we don't have anything to hide. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But what are you picking your husband's phone for anyway? What are you looking for? The text message you sent for him is in your own copy of your phone. If you want to review what you said, check your phone. You will see it. Every other information there is his information. Personal info what? Mind your business. Just to keep yourself away from anything. Don't invade a person's privacy. If he wants to show you something, he can show you. But bottom line is, don't keep secrets from each other. Praise the Lord. Number five, express your love. Express your love. My God. Okay. Express your love. Your husband is not a magician. Your wife is not a magician. They cannot know what is inside your heart. If you don't say it, they won't know what you have in mind. So tell your wife you love her. I don't know, there's something in the African culture that is as if there is a hidden law. Don't say I love you too much. Sister, please, there is no such law.
Please, women, feel free to jump or smile. Because some are looking in case their husband is wondering, what are you jumping for?
Praise the Lord. There's no such law. Tell her you love her. We know you love her, but she needs to know by hearing that you said it. And if it is difficult, you and her can agree at something. If he says this to you, it means I love you.
Say it directly.
So there are some women here now. If your husband comes home today and says, baby, I love you, say, waiting happen. Now waiting happen.
What did you do?
What did you do?
Did you drink something?
She has never heard it. After this conference, tell your neighbor, after this conference, I beg, just to tell your wife, say you love her. Early in the morning, when you wake up, and she says, good morning, honey, say, I love you, baby. Don't wait now, you will testify. You will see what will happen to your life. You will see. She will just start blossoming. She could just smile. Anywhere you see her, just be smiling. You don't need to beg for anything. Praise the Lord. Do you remember the man that testified? I think it was today in the morning or yesterday evening. It took the angel of the commission using the face of God's servants to koboko him for him to apologize to his wife. And even plus on top of that, when he came to wake her up for the apology, he made her apologize. Eh? Can you imagine? He said he hopes that she's not watching the program as he was testifying, so that she will not know the secret of why he settled the problem that night. Please, be open. Speak openly.
Let your wife know you love her. Let your husband know that you value him, you appreciate him. When he pays school fees, don't just be staring at him as if... thank him. If you think it is his duty, go and ask your friends that the husband didn't pay their own children's school fees. It's a privilege. It's not a right. Up till today, this last school fees now, I thanked my God servant when he paid the school fees. Prepared everything, brought his sign, did bank transfers. Thank you, sir. I really appreciate this investment into the children's lives. May God bless you and may they bring a reward for your labor. He will jokingly say, amen. But it is done. It is so important. Express your love. Express your appreciation. You know, we don't have the time, but ways in which you express love by quality talks, by quality time, spending time with each other, by words of affirmation. You tell the person words, affirmative words. You do acts of service. You do things that the person values. You know, like if observe what your spouse likes to do in expression of love and do it back to him or her. That's how it works. And the Lord will help in the name of Jesus. Number 6 is patience. We need patience. Be patient with one another. Every human being is different from every other human being. Please, can you stretch out your hand? Your two hands. Do you know that your left hand is different from your right hand? Even the lines at the back, the lines inside of your left hand is different from the one of your right hand. Your fingernails, as similar as they are, except for those that are fixed. So if you fix, you cannot see that one. Acrylic will not let you see it. So don't bother. But normal hand. So just know that their right hand are normally bigger and thicker than the left hand because they handle the rifle, they handle the gun. Most women, their right hands are more, or their dominant hand is bigger than the non-dominant hand. If in your own body, one side is different from the other, how much more you and your husband? How much more you and your wife? How much more the difference in your lives? So patience is what helps you to navigate the differences. Don't judge your spouse. Stop judging her. Stop condemning him. Stop picking offenses at them. Stop comparing them to other people. They are unique individuals. And God will grant you success in your homes in the name of Jesus. I'll just rattle through number 7 and 8 and then we're good to go. Don't be rude. Be polite to each other. Don't be more polite to outsiders than to your wife or to your husband. Don't take each other for granted. And that's why I say to young people that are not married, before you get married, please check the guy out. Check that lady out. Is that somebody you can respect? Is that somebody you can look up to? Is it somebody you can hold in esteem? What about him do you like and value? What about him are his selling points? Make sure that they are well defined to you before you step into the marriage. Because you don't step into the marriage hoping to suddenly recreate somebody. Number 8, protect each other. Protect each other. 1 Corinthians 11:12. Says the woman is out of the man. Okay, for as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. But all things are of God. We belong to each other. We've come from each other, more or less. And it is our responsibility to protect each other. Do you know, I realize in this generation that men actually do a better job at protecting their wives than women do at protecting their husbands. It's not many times you find a strange man coming to try and steal somebody's wife. Because as soon as the man is coming too close, too many times, when the man opens eyes for that other man, what will he do? He will run away. But women are just taking things for granted. They marry you, finish, you decide to become a potato. I know you did your work, oh, you have delivered the children. Well done, we appreciate you. But there is what they call the gym. and there's what they call takeaway, and there's what they call food portions, and there's what they call diets. If you don't know much about it, please find out about it. And let me introduce my latest finding. It's called okpa. It's high in fiber, high in proteins and nutrients, and low in carbohydrates. That's why the people in Onitsha and Enugu, when you reach 9th mile, they sell okpa to you. The people will eat it the rest of the journey. They don't ask for food again. Let me go on. I'm not in a nutrition class. Praise the Lord. Women, respect your husband. No nagging. No suspecting.
That's okpa right there.
I'm sorry, foreign delegates, you might not know what it is. It's a substance that is made from Bambara nuts. It's made like a cake and wrapped up in leaves to cook it in hot water until it is cooked. And then it's a very nutritious meal. Praise God. Bambara nuts is like beans. So if you don't have Bambara nuts in your country, you can try beans and make bean cakes or bean... Can you show us Moi Moi ICT? Praise the Lord. So women, like I was saying, learn to do what? Maintain territory. God's servant told us that story many, many years ago. He was at the Kenyan Wildlife Park. And then suddenly, they went on it with a tour guide. And then the lion just started roaring unprovoked. And so he asked, why is the lion just roaring unprovoked? He said he's roaring to maintain territory. Maintain territory. Once in a while, just stroll into your husband's office, looking very jejelious. Hello, husband, I just came to serve you lunch. You drop the lunch box and you go. So that every eye there will know that there's somebody in his house. Is anybody listening to what I'm saying? Dress up. Follow him out. Be around him. Don't neglect him. Be highly irresistible and unavoidable. Be highly cooperative. It's not only the cooperative in your office. Praise the Lord. Try as much as possible at every point in time to be the way you were when he married you. Me, I'm not there yet, oh. I'm still far from it, but I'm trying my best. All of us can try our best. Praise the Lord. Please, let me tell you something. Did you hear the man's testimony from South Africa? There are many Jezebels on rampage. And they don't do it with just empty handle. They do charm. They do occultic practices. They go and cook the man's name inside their occultic realm. And then this man, in the dream of the night, a woman now appears to him. And he's a pastor. So we're not talking of only laymen. Even in church, there are Jezebels. None of them shall come near your own. None of them shall succeed against you. If you are a believer, you shout a loud amen. That Jezebel went and cooked something and arranged something, then appeared to the man in the dream of the night and said, she, the Jezebel, is the man's wife. The man now woke up and immediately his head turned and began to see the wife as not his wife again. He said, the devil is a bastard. None of them shall come near us in the name of Jesus Christ. So, let me tell you, single ladies, watch what you are doing with married men, oh. The seed you sow is the harvest you will reap. Another person's husband has become your best friend. Your best confidant. Go and look for a single lady and let her be your confidant. Or look for the man's wife and confide in the man's wife. Some of it is longer trotto. You know, in this day and age, many young girls don't want to suffer. They want ready-made. They don't know how that married man got to where he is. How they suffer together to get there. Just be careful. Everything you do, know that it is seed time and harvest. Summer and winter, day and night. What you sow is what you reap. Somebody say, I hear. Somebody say, I hear. Praise the Lord. And finally, make sure that if you are single, don't marry out of desperation. Don't marry out of desperation. Ensure that you take time in prayer. Is this God's will for my life? These things that were enumerated, the purposes of marriage, this person coming your way, does he fit this bill? Does he fit this picture? And let me tell you something. Refuse the thought that there are not enough men for women. The Bible says he made them male and female. If he made you, it means that he made your male. Did any young lady hear that? Don't go and commit suicide because of one yeyesious man. He talked to you, then he jilted you, and you want to kill yourself. It's not worth it. He's not good enough for you. That's why he took off. It's better for you that you are still single, waiting for who will come your way, and God is going to bring your own husband your way. If you are a believer in the house, you jump up on your feet and shout, Amen. Let me drop one word. Let me drop one word. Marriage is honorable in all, the bed undefiled. It's a key to successful homes and successful marriages. If you lay the foundation of premarital sexual relationship, the probability of reaping the harvest of extramarital affairs is almost 99%. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:4, it says marriage is honorable in all, the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Young lady, young man, looking to get married, when you get into that courtship, ensure that the bed is not defiled. Be patient. It's just a few months. After that few months, you yourself, you go to tire. So what's the rush? You rush and you spoil market now. You spoil everything. Then you enter the marriage and it is sorrow upon sorrow, pain upon pain. Tell your neighbor, be patient. Be what? Be patient. Lift up your voice and let's talk to God. I'm going to lead us in a prayer of covenant renouncement. Things that are working against homes and marriages, we are going to take authority over it this evening. I don't know what you are going to do when you get back home. I don't know what practices you are going to change and what practices you are going to add. But one thing that you must do is start telling your wife, I love her. Lift up your voice and let's pray. Say, Jesus, thank you for your word to me today. I ask, oh God, for your help in my life and my destiny. Oh Lord, I ask that today, every covenant, anti-marital covenant that may have worked against me or be working against me, that has delayed my marital destiny or has challenged my marriage, every spirit husband, every spirit wife that is challenging my home, challenging my marital destiny, today I renounce you. I denounce you. I disconnect myself from you. I set myself free from you. I declare that I am in the physical. I will marry in the physical. And every satanic limitation is broken from my life. Lift up your voice now and pray. In Jesus' name, I pray today that a revolution of marital harmony enters our midst in the name of Jesus. I declare help from above in our homes in Jesus' name. I declare as many as are trusting God to be established after this convention, the man shall come your way. Your eyes shall see the woman. You shall be married in the name of Jesus. By this time next year, you'll be here with your spouse in the name of Jesus. Those trusting God for their children, we declare the children are released today in Jesus' name. Give God a big clap and a shout of praise.
Go ahead and give the Lord a clap and a shout of praise. Bigger, 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 bigger clap and a shout of praise.